Okay, and welcome back. It is a distinct possibility that without my next guest's efforts for the past, almost 15 years, we would have far less freedom of speech than we do now. And it is certainly a case of our First Amendment privileges and rights, God-given rights, have never been more in jeopardy than they are right now for reasons that we've talked about with Reverend Ted Pike for years on this program. Reasons that have to do with the fascist, Marxist powers that are taking control of this country and who will do anything and everything needed to assure their ascendancy, well, they're already there, and continuing subjugation of what's left of the American political sense of identity. They're trying to destroy our feelings as Americans and make us basically feel hopeless. That's the game. And certainly the idea of diverting our attention continually to other things, very secular, mundane things that are worthless. But Ted Pike has been an heroic warrior on behalf of all true and honest free people everywhere to try to protect our rights to speak and think and write how we believe, and to ask questions where we feel questions are warranted, to research where we feel research is warranted, and to do the kinds of things that human beings, enlightened human beings, are supposed to be able to do. But they don't want us to do that anymore. And you folks know the story, and watch out, because the first hate law that comes to Obama's desk, should he be sworn in, even in fact that he is not an American citizen, he will sign it. And that will be the end of an awful lot of free speech and the beginning of many, many federal court cases that could go on for decades. We have a constitution or we don't have a constitution. There's no middle ground on this thing. These people will try to take it away, as you well know. Anyway, I'll stop talking now and welcome Reverend Ted Pike back to the program. Hi, Ted. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Sure. I tried to cover some of the territory. There's a lot more to cover, but I do believe we have, honestly, and we saw this coming, never been in more danger in terms of losing our God-given right of freedom of thought, freedom of speech, and freedom of expression.
Yes, and what we've seen in the last month or so is that this effort to push these hate crimes laws onto us and onto the nations is now very much coming from Europe. As you have dealt with and I have dealt with on your website, Dr. Frederick Tobin was a kind of a bellwether of how far along Europe is toward very aggressively wanting to impose hate crimes laws and standards, and not only on Europe, but we're actually seeing efforts now to bring the European model even to the United States.
They're going to do everything they can to impose that model on us. Explain to our listeners who are new to the program, new to the ideas of hate laws, what this is all about, Ted, because we don't want to leave anybody behind, if you would.
Well, I'll just get back to the architects of hate crimes legislation. The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, both in the United States and ADL Europe, is the grandfather of the whole idea of bias crimes legislation, hate crimes legislation, thought crimes legislation. And back about 1971 in Canada, they persuaded the Canadian Parliament to adopt the Canadian Human Rights Act with its infamous Section 319, which has saddled Canada with an oppressive Orwellian hate crimes bureaucracy and has resulted in many very egregious cases of persecution, not only of radical right-wingers, maybe neo-Nazis or racists, but especially with the turn of the century, we've seen quite a long list now of evangelical Christians who have come under the acts of the hate crimes bureaucracy.
Yep. When we talk about hate crimes, a lot of people will say, well, what do you mean, hate crimes? More appropriately, it's anti-hate crime, but be that as it may, it's the idea of trying to legislate morality in a way, and you can't do that. You cannot legislate, well, I shouldn't say that. You cannot legislate the way free men and free women, free human beings, think. But that's what these people are all about. They literally want to criminalize freedom of thought, unless, of course, you agree with the way they see things. And if you don't, you are anything from an anti-Semite to a terrorist to a 5150 or an insane person. There's a whole range of things. But this is really, we're right up against the wall now, because Obama is a career cutout. He's a spook. He is a spy, if you will, a domestic one. But he is working for the other side, and he's been implanted, and in a way impregnated into the upper levels of government here. Of course, he will not be calling the shots. And as you heard last hour, Ralph Shulman made, I think, brilliantly clear, this is a continuity government, if there ever was one, and I concur 100%. But what we're seeing now is again, I think, with the fact that, as you know, Ted, only 17 members of the House who voted against the bailout were, voted in favor of the bailout, were ejected from the House. It's the same Congress, basically, and then some.
Yes. Well, actually, the primary threat that's facing us, of course, is the passage of a big federal hate crimes bill here in the new Congress.
And there's already one pending in the Senate.
Yes. Yes, there is. The Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Prevention Act. We've basically been fighting this legislation since 1998 and have defeated it five times. But every year that the cards against us, the number of those voting for it or promising to vote for it increases. Now, of course, we've reached almost the saturation level with Obama in the White House favoring this Orwellian legislation as well as the overwhelming Democratic majority in the House and the Senate. It's going to be a real fight. And in only about 4 weeks, I'm going to have to come back on this show and on many other talk shows that we're going to have to really overwhelm the Congress, especially the House Judiciary Committee, with protests, because this bill will probably come back in as early as the first week.
They're going to try to fast track it because it's a key plank in their program of domination.
Absolutely. And there's many efforts now going on internationally to end freedom of speech on the Internet, to impose hate crimes laws on European countries as well as the United States and so on. But really, a key kingpin in this whole international globalization of hate crimes jurisdiction is getting hate crimes legislation in the United States government, which will allow the United States government to just unilaterally adjudicate, to indict, to create hate crimes cases all around the country at the same time. And this could not be overstressed, that lovers of freedom now have to gird literally for the fight of their lives as early as the first, second week of January, as this legislation is introduced, probably through Sheila Jackson Lee again, of Texas, and then put into the House Judiciary Committee.
Right. All right. Frederick Tobin, something certainly that you can find in featured stories at Rents.com, the whole chronology of it. Just scroll down until you find the featured story box about Frederick Tobin, T-O-B-E-N. That was a victory.
Yes, it certainly was. Wonderful victory.
It was extraordinary. I honestly was pleasantly surprised, to put it mildly, to see how it ended up. The British still have some moxie. They still have some strength of character. At least one judge did. Germany, of course, apparently is still going to continue and try to arrest Frederick Tobin on any venue around the world that they can get their Zionist hands on.
Yes, that's very sad. And unfortunately, they will probably be able to do that, because certainly Australia... Now, the government of Australia has recently announced that it will be stiffening its hate crimes penalties, especially on the Internet, and it's planning literally to follow the Chinese example, Chinese template of banning incoming so-called cyber hate and banning any kind of websites coming out of Australia, which criticize homosexuality, Zionism matters Jewish, and so on. And so certainly I would think that Australia is probably the least secure place for Dr. Tobin to return to.
And now that's a very good point, and I'm sure that he spent a lot of time thinking about that, his own country. Harmony Grant wrote a very nice piece called The Disease of Hate Crimes Legislation, hate in quotes. Ted's current story, Germany Still Hunts Tobin, both up at Rents.com. We'll be back to talk about this with more information coming your way as we continue our discussion with Reverend Ted Pike. This is an extremely important story, and it's coming very soon, folks. And everything will change if they pass one of these laws. Believe it. Be right back. Okay, talking with Reverend Ted Pike. Ted mentioned he'll be back on this program in about 4 weeks. He will. And you folks, please, be prepared to take action again. We're going to have to smoke these people in Washington, these frauds, these traitors, these treasonous dirtbags in many cases, and force them to do as they did in the first bailout vote, and that's to represent their constituents. We do not want hate laws in this country. There are plenty of laws on the books in states and municipalities to take care of any kind of excessive use of, I guess you'd have to call it almost assault and battery. Because words are not supposed to hurt people. At any rate, that's where we are. Ted has another new article up, which is at rents.com and at his website, truthtellers.org, called Germany Still Hunts Tobin, and also another one, which we have up at rents.com, which has just been sent over the other day. And you want to tell us more about that one, Ted?
Yeah, what I say is that the European Union and the Germans are really very poor losers in the default of their case against Tobin. As many of our listeners were aware, Germany instigated an EU warrant against Tobin actually about 4 years ago, and they've been trying to get him ever since, and he was on his way to Dubai and stopped at Heathrow Airport. And
his flight stopped. And they came on the plane and took the man off, in case you didn't get it. Now imagine that, if you're flying from here to Europe, whatever, and you stop at Heathrow and the plane takes on fuel and you're going to fly on to Greece, and somebody comes on the plane and takes you off because of something you wrote on your website back in the States that offended someone in some third country. That's what we're talking about here. Where do you draw the line once it starts?
Yeah. Well, fortunately, the specifics of this warrant were not complete enough as far as the date and terms and offense and so on.
Odd that they would be that shoddy about it, isn't it?
Yeah, and so a spunky British judge threw it out, and rather than have it go to the British High Court and a lot more controversy, and also Tobin had some pretty good lawyers there, which were provided to him, I believe, by Lady Renhoff in England, and they were vowing to really, really kick up a fuss. And so the European Union and the Germans decided just to back away, and yet they came out after his victory with a clear statement that wherever he goes, he can run, but he can't hide. They're going to get him again for this terrible crime of questioning the accuracy of the 6 million figure, or questioning the ability of gas chambers and ovens to have killed 6 million Jews during World War II. So this man is truly a thought criminal who is being hounded and pursued throughout the world, not because he has physically assaulted anyone or committed some heinous traditional crime, but he's committed the same kind of crime basically that Galileo did in the 16th century, which was to question establishment ideas about reality.
Well, in this case, questioning religious dogma, practically. I mean,
that's right. The Shoah, the Holocaust has practically become a part of the Jewish Torah now. It's along with the Book of Esther and the attempts of Haman to kill the Jews and all that kind of thing. It's become a part of Jewish mythology, almost a semi-religious creed of Judaism today. And so the question, the accuracy of the 6 million figure, is basically an anti-Semitic assault upon the Jewish people. In fact, it's called defamation of the Jewish dead. And so what we have here is a very bizarre situation in which Tobin is now forced to try to find basically a country which is anti-Zionist. In my recent small article on Tobin still being hunted by the Germans, I do suggest that maybe he should get another airplane fare to Dubai and go to an anti-Zionist country for a while in order to escape the long arm of the European Union.
Well,
and
what's interesting, now here, they love to label people who simply question history as either revisionists or deniers and so forth. It's not okay to research history. Dr. Tobin is an historian. He's a researcher. He's a scholar. He has turned up information which suggests to him that perhaps history, as we are commonly being taught it, might need to be adjusted somehow, some way. But that's not okay with certain special interest groups. That makes you a criminal. Now, if he were to question the number of Christians that Joseph Stalin liquidated, I don't think anyone would arrest him and try to charge him with a hate crime or a thought crime. Or if he were to question the number of Cambodians that Pol Pot liquidated, I don't think anybody would arrest him for that. This cannot be allowed to stand, because if it is, the door will be wide open to such abuse, you will not even believe it. Any country, any group in any country, literally around the world, that is part of this New World Order will probably think it has the right and will probably try to prosecute the right to have someone arrested and extradited from any other country for any crime that they find to be insensitive or offensive. I mean, this is really nuts. All right, stand by. I'll be right back with Ted Pike in just a few minutes. So we have our work cut out for us, and then some. We're going to have to really lean on these grease balls in Washington. I just can't believe that they were almost all returned to their seats. Just amazing. Back in just a minute. Okay, and welcome back. One of the interesting things about history, and certainly about World War II history, is the Auschwitz controversy, which is certainly not going away. In fact, it's becoming more contested all the time. It was a fact that originally the plaque at Auschwitz stated that 4 million died there. That was revised a number of times. Now, from six leaves two. So four died at Auschwitz, million, 2 million died elsewhere. Well, the problem is there's 6 million, but the Auschwitz plaque today says about 1 million. That's a difference of 3 million. So six minus three is three. So in reality, if the Holocaust historians who claim that they're right and they know what happened were going to be, I think, following the data, it would suggest that the figure six should be reduced to three, because their own plaque at Auschwitz so states, from four down to one. But we're still stuck on that six. And if you say even 5,990,000, 500,000 less, you know, you're in trouble. It's that cuckoo. It is crazy. And yet, as Harmony Grant writes on Reverend Ted Pike's site, truthtellers.org, in her The Disease of Hate Crimes Legislation, she said that close to 70% of Americans favor an expanded federal hate crimes law, which would stiffen penalties for real crimes if those crimes are committed because of politically incorrect bias. So if you say 5,550,000, that's politically incorrect. And that's a hate crime. Anyway, it's really cuckoo, but it's thought control, it's mind control, it's Big Brother. It's worse than that. It's the end of true freedom of spirit, freedom of thought, freedom of heart and mind.
Yes.
You know, Ted, go ahead, please.
In response to this defeat of European Union and Germany, what I say in this recent article about Germany hitting back against Tobin is that the European Parliament, that is the Council of Europe, evidently now is proposing a vast legislation that will unite European countries.
They'll all be forced to follow the same template.
That's right.
Yeah.
And very significantly, this initiative is coming from the European Jewish Congress. The Jerusalem Post states very clearly that the European Jewish Congress is initiating the Council of Europe to draft legislation over the next few years, which will unite all European countries, at least Council of Europe countries, something like 47,
into
uniform definitions of what is a hate crime or Holocaust denial, uniform penalties and so on, unifying that into a hate crimes bureaucracy, which will not allow the kind of mishandling that caused the Tobin to escape out of their clutches. They want to have an ironclad uniformity of legal terminology, penalties, and so on that will mean that if they want to apprehend anyone, even an American citizen going through Europe who has criticized the Holocaust in Denver, Colorado, then they can lock him up and get him off to a Mannheim prison in Germany and so on, or Israel, whatever, and there'll be no fumbling of the hate crimes ball anymore. And so this is very ominous. You know, if you read the Council of Europe's website, they very clearly state that these conventions, this legal system which they want to establish in Europe, can be subscribed to by other nations throughout the world. So what they want to do is establish a very well thought out and worked out a legal concept and theory of hate crimes enforcement there. And then if Obama and if the U.S. Congress want to say, well, we'll sign a secret treaty or even we'll ratify some kind of international enforcement, then we'll get the whole package from Europe. And Canada can do the same thing. Australia can do the same thing. And that's a very ominous thing. I also mentioned in this article that largely in response to the Tobin victory, There was a big meeting in Washington, D.C. just several weeks ago, largely sponsored by the Anti-Defamation League. It's a summit on cyber hate. And this was largely orchestrated by the ADL's Special Task Force in Europe, which is the International Network Against Cyber Hate, which is a big think tank, which is part of, again, ADL's Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, which is, a monster hate crimes Gestapo of 56 nations who are now banding together to end Holocaust denial and criticism of matters Jewish and homosexuality and so on. Anyway, they had a big conference feted by the French embassy several weeks ago in Washington, D.C.,
uh-huh.
And proposed many plans, tossing out various agendas for trying to end criticism of federally protected groups and special interest groups like Jews, homosexuals, etc. on the internet. And again, this was I discussed this in my article at truthtellers.org as well as on your website. Discuss how they are really scraping the bottom of the barrel, trying to end this plague. They view it as freedom of speech on the internet for little people like all the rest of us to get on there, to blog, to express ourselves any way we want to, especially against the sacred cows of political correctness.
Nicely summed up. This is really an extraordinary world we live in when you think about how there is so much lip service paid to equal equality and equal opportunity and so on. When you think about the truly powerful people on the planet, especially the Western world, and how they have brought Europe into an homogenized, harmonized state of universal conformity, and that opens the doors to all the things that we've been talking about tonight and you've been talking about for years, and that is the long arm of literal extradition for saying something that is considered to be inappropriate by some group somewhere else. That is what we're facing in the not-too-distant future. And if they homogenize Europe, 40-some countries, and all laws are equally applicable in all countries, that's what you'll have there. National boundaries basically will mean nothing. You break a law in one country that is really no problem in that country, but it's a big deal in another country, and you may be yanked out of your home. That's the kind of world these controllers would like to have at their disposal. Be right back. Okay, we're back with Ted Pike. All right, Ted, at truthtellers.org, there's a lot going on. I have a number of stories up about that big kosher farm scandal in the United States, which many of you have been following, at least tangentially. That's a big story. Illegal alien employees, all kinds of abuse, bad things going on. This is a very complicated world. And it's very difficult for the average person who is even interested in trying to understand it to get a good grip on it, Ted, as you know. It's very slippery. It's like a multi-headed hydra trying to corral one of those and stick it into a box. It's difficult. Yeah. So for those of you who are sort of coming into the arena of reality, I won't say truth, but of reality, go slowly and try to do your thinking very carefully and with great deliberation. Try to connect the dots and keep reading. And we urge you to read the material at Rents.com. Our dear departed colleague and friend of many, many years on this program, Sherman Skolnick, the hard-nosed Chicago born and bred journalist who took on the establishment there, and I wish Sherman were around now, but he I'm sure he's watching and laughing because he knows what's going on. There's a story up there called The Chicago Jews Behind Obama, and Sherman used to write about these people. He wrote about Rahm Emanuel all the time. Sherman, of course, Jewish himself, but these are Talmudic Jews. They're not Torah Jews. It's a whole different mentality. And when you think about the fact also that of all Americans, 300 some million, there are only 6 or 7 million and 13 million Jews in the world. And of all those people who call themselves Jewish, Ted, most of them are fine, upstanding, wonderful people. It's just this small Talmudic, Babylonian Talmud oriented group that are almost genetically driven to dominate, control, and liquidate all who get in their way. It's a very difficult thing for people to understand, and we have fought for years to make that differentiation clear.
I think what we have to realize in very simple terms is there's a tremendous war going on right now to influence humanity. And ADL B'nai B'rith, which has a membership, I think, of only about 300,000, they're the hardcore Jewish supremacists who are really, really enemies of civilization. They are involved in establishing hate crimes bureaucracies in Europe, Canada, Australia, the United States, and the 50 states of the United States. 45 states now have adopted some version of an ADL hate law. But these people are working very hard to end Internet freedom. That is the top priority, to figure out some way to stop what they call cyber hate speech on the Internet. And they're not having an easy time of it, because the Internet is so creative, so free, so generating of independence of mind and comment and opinion and so on. And they really have their hands full. At this latest summit in Washington, D.C., the Summit on Cyber Hate, they tossed around a lot of ideas, but basically they're having to almost content themselves now with an educational agenda. And that's very good news for us on the side of truth, because we can educate also on the Internet. When we speak out on talk radio on the Internet, or Rents.com or Truth Tellers or whatever, we are in warfare, largely successful warfare against the lies put out by ADL B'nai B'rith.
Right.
But what ADL dreams of, and which is really the magic solution for the dilemma, is to get governments to actually ban freedom of speech on the Internet. And that's what they did in Canada back around 1980, was they passed this Internet, actually with a telecommunications telephone originally banning hate speech on messages on telephones and so on, but expanded to banning any kind of websites which had sentiments, comments which were quote-unquote likely, just likely, to create intimidation, contempt of federally protected groups.
Right.
And so what you have in Canada is you have ADL coming down and literally having the government do the job of ending free speech. And when the government can do that, then you've got the perfect solution as far as ADL is concerned. That's what they're now doing in Australia. ADL Australia has been working for decades to convince the Australian government to do the same thing. And as I wrote just a few weeks ago, the government of Australia now is Chinese style. It's banning all incoming so-called cyber hate and banning all so-called cyber hate originating in Australia. Now, if we get a federal hate crimes bill passed early this year, what's going to happen is inevitably, as a part of that federal hate crimes bill, which ostensibly is just to end violent hate crimes in the United States, inevitably that will be extended to protecting homosexuals' feelings and emotions and self-image and so on. And what will happen is that not only will the federal government have the right to intervene in states' rights and law enforcement, but also the federal government will eventually have the right to intervene in the Internet to restrict content which is deemed to be anti-Semitic, homophobic, etc. And the ADL wants to be in there on the ground floor as an esteemed advisor and censor, moderator of
enforcer
content on the Internet. That's what they want to do. Let me just tell you how they want to do that. One of the ways they're exploring that right now is they're becoming the champion against cyberbullying. They are pretending that they have great compassion on teenagers, young people who are victims of cyberbullying on the Internet. Don't believe it. ADL doesn't care about the tender feelings or emotions of teenagers. What they want to do is they want to come down and say it is cyberbullying to criticize homosexuality against teens who are gays or lesbians or whatever, and we, the ADL, we will step in, we'll protect them not only from pornography, we'll protect them from homophobic hate speech on the Internet and so on. So the ADL wants to enter the business, or I should say the racket, of becoming agency, the non-governmental agency who makes the definitions, creates the restrictions and the concepts which will allow them to moderate and eventually eliminate so-called cyber hate on the Internet. So what we have to do is not buy into these ADL subterfuges, continue to speak out against them and expose them.
Well, and expose them exactly is the right terminology to use. We have to bring these people out of the shadows. And when they own the media, when they control the media, the entertainment industry, the popular culture, and all those members of Congress, basically, and that's the majority of them, that are able to be pressured, blackmailed, coerced. It becomes very easy for them, and there are only a couple of us out here doing it. I just, again, can't imagine where we'd be, Ted, without you and all the work you've done. Literally 7 days a week for I don't know how many years you've been doing it, but you've been fighting for our founding fathers, for our nation, for all the things that we hold dear as a country, which are literally being ripped out of our souls by these people and their agents. It's a very ugly situation.
Well, thank you. And I should say, without your voice worldwide through Rents.com, I don't know where we'd be these days. We're just so grateful for putting up our articles, Harmony and myself. But what we have to realize now is, as I said at the beginning of this program, is that really we have come to the to midnight here, first week or two of the new Congress. That heat bill, the Matthew Shepard heat bill, is going to come in, and and if ever all good men should come to the aid of the country, it's got to be right now. And I don't want to sound too gloomy, because we have seen miraculous deliverances, last-minute deliverances, provided by none other than Almighty God again and again and again and again in the last 10 years, defeating this hate bill. The Lord God does not want America to lose free speech, our precious God-given free speech. He has intervened against all odds. I believe he can do the same thing again, but what we have, of course, is a groundswell of protest. And as I say, I'll be orchestrating that as soon as the hate bill comes in, and even before. We will be getting those calls in, especially to the House Judiciary Committee. You see, it's always introduced first into the House,
right.
goes to the House Judiciary, and there's some 40 members of that House Judiciary Committee, and they just need to be avalanched with calls of protest. And last time, 2 years ago, what we did was we concentrated our firepower on all of those Democrats and Republicans, and we really got the Republicans worked up. We had 11 Republicans in the House Judiciary Committee proposing amendments to the hate bill to try to water it down. And eventually, of course, we did defeat the hate bill almost a year later. But there is hope. What we have to have is a consensus and agreement among the American people, lovers of freedom, that regardless of the administration, regardless of the state of Congress, they will be under threat. They will be under fire if they do not reject a hate crimes legislation this time around.
Just remember, there has to be free speech for all, or there can be free speech for none. And we want it for all Americans of all religious persuasions, atheists, it doesn't matter, agnostics. We have to guard that with everything we have, or if once we lose the First Amendment, it's well, you know what it means. All right, Ted, thank you. Give my best to Harmony. What a wonderful young woman that she has contributed some marvelous essays, and tell her to keep it up.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Okay, Ted, good night.
Night.
Reverend Ted Pike, and our right to freedom of speech is everything. Back in just a couple minutes.